Roleplay Podcast, who's intimidated by the barbarian class. I am Chief Hamstermonger Ivan Brett, coming to you from the London offices of Elastocloud, and I'm joined by four of my friends and colleagues who will introduce themselves in order of breakfast size today, starting from the biggest.
Oh, I forgot what I'd have for breakfast, but I came to the office early, and it was very, very boring, but I came to the office early, and the shop across the road where I was going to get my breakfast from, I'm trying to get an enormous breakfast of eggs and associated goodness, said, oh, we don't do breakfast until later on, which was disappointing. But then they said, I've got some leftover cheese toasties, which from an unspecified period of time that they've been left over for, but I ate it. It was tasty and it was surprisingly large, almost like they were trying to get rid of it for some reason. And anyway, it was quite a big cheese toasty, so I think I might win. I don't know. I certainly might have won some bacterium.
Would you call it a cheese tasty?
No, it was extra mature. It was okay. It had a few bits of green in it, which I think might have been spring onion.
No, that was the leftover. That was White's leftover. That green was the cheese.
Well, I might die, but if I don't, I'm Andy Cross, and I'm playing Nigel Hellscream. Oh, my tummy hurts.
Right, second biggest breakfast. Who's it?
I feel like everyone hasn't had breakfast.
I mean, do I win by dint of having had breakfast?
Well, yeah, I haven't eaten anything.
Oh,
so.
Yes.
I think it's me then. I had a bowl of shredded wheat. It was great.
That's. Yeah.
No,
and
just shredded wheat.
And character as well?
No.
Damn.
I am Misha, and I will be playing Light Through Rain.
Rich, tell me you had some.
I had a coffee, so I think I'm one up on Rob. It was, yeah, so I was dropping Aaron off at school, and on the way back I went to Tesco, which now has a Costa in it, which is incredible. Go franchise. I had a coconut flat white, so I think, I'm not sure, maybe by liquid volume I'm ahead of all of you, right?
I've had quite a few coffees this morning. Let's finish the introduction this is the earliest we've ever recorded, by the way. This is why we're all talking about breakfast. It's really early in the morning.
So
Rich,
I am Richard Conway.
Who are you, Rich?
I am playing Dicky Basilisk.
And well, I guess that leaves me. I've had about two mouthfuls of some green tea with lemon. That's been my breakfast so far. Yeah, I'm Rob.
Rob,
and
that's disgusting.
Yeah? Why?
That's like, can we do the worst breakfast next time? And let Rob start.
Judge Rob.
But then I'll make sure I have something better next time.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But cheese tasty.
But yeah, I'm Rob McDonald, and I'm playing Linus of Menardis.
I had like a very, very delightful al fresco Spanish patisserie breakfast, guys. I don't want to show off here, but I'm living the continental lifestyle. I walked the dog to the North Park. The dog got attacked by a variety of dogs inside a cage. And then with that all said and done, we wandered back, and we were going to go for churros, but the churros place had a queue outside. Now that means two things. One, good churros. Two, I wouldn't be back in time for the podcast. So we ended up having some coffee and pastries in a place next door. Now, I want you to feel
jealous.
So, has that worked? Do you feel jealous?
Yes. Yeah.
Absolutely not. I'm totally disappointed. I would have made an excuse and been 10 minutes late and just had the churros.
Yeah.
that's right. But I didn't have churros.
Are you sure you didn't? Were you excuse salespeople when actually it was... Look, churros will come, okay? We'll have churros later. There's always churros, except that's not true. There are only churros in the morning. Let's move on from breakfast. What are you guys all having now? Come on. It's D&D time. It's D&D time. Last week, Cloud Bulls Incorporated tried to rescue Dicky from his brownie-induced fever dream, where huge hamsters were carrying him towards the statue of an elephant god. The rest of the party got on his level by microdosing the brownie, defeated many of the imaginary...
That's such a brilliant expression. Microdosing the brownie.
Yeah. Yeah, quite right. Defeated many of the imaginary hamsters, but haven't yet rescued Dicky from his mouth-foaming slumber. Dicky has kind of carried himself into the doorway of a halfling barbershop in real life, while everyone else is kind of seeing both worlds. Dickie is fully in his imaginary world, and we will rejoin the action in initiative in this imaginary cave full of gold and hamsters and an elephantine god, Nigel. You are standing down the stairs of two remaining hamsters, one who kneels in front of Dickie praying, just really muttering some delightful cute hamster words to the sky, and the other one almost dead, having been bludgeoned by light through rain. What would you like to do?
Well, I'm very suspicious of this this fella who's muttering on the ground, and I'm going to step behind and shout, that's outdated business philosophy! Cast a blooming blade and strike the fella.
Okay. Did you say blooping blade?
I mean, is that a better spell?
Yeah, we could call it blooping blade from now on. It makes like the Windows error noise when it screens. Just beep!
I like it. Okay, so I'm going to cast blooping blade.
Blooping blade, Aussie blue screens. He just goes... yeah, go for a hit.
Okay, here we go. Here we go. Roll and get a 20.
20 hits. Give me some damage, please.
Okie dokie. And that is 9 points of bludgeoning damage.
Wonderful. Ozzy begins to make dial-up noises, and he is surrounded by blooping energy. You see that his prayer begins to go unheard as he kind of just freezes in space, slightly vibrating. Nigel, that's your turn. Is there unless there's anything else you want to do?
Nope, thank you.
Okay, on to you, Light Through Rain. You are standing next to Hunkin, an almost dead, beautifully
I'm
glossy
asleep
hamster.
Because my friend and colleague, Dickie, happened.
This is fascinating. I think last week we didn't catch this, that you're asleep in the dream.
I think I'm having a dream within a dream.
What are you dreaming about?
I'm dreaming about trying to bat a spinning top off a table. It just won't fall.
Give me an acrobatics check, please.
Acrobatics. Ooh, 22.
You bat, and finally, your hand has been going, your paw has been going through it for some time. Or it's kind of been going round your paw, like in dreams when you're trying to kick a football, you know. But finally, you bat it. It skitters away across the table. And at the other end of the table, an elegant hand catches it, lifts it up, spins it again. You try to look up, but the shadows and the fog of night mean that you don't make out a face, just the shape of a person. And that's the end of your turn. Right, next it is Scruffle Nuts, who's going to try to pray despite being covered in dial-up noises. Oh, succeeds. That's interesting. You just hear him go... And as he does so, the entire cave just kind of judders. And behind the elephantine god, an elven woman appears. She is tall, and she glows slightly. And she doesn't seem to land, just hover maybe an inch off the ground. She's going to roll initiative. Okay. She is smiling. And she puts out her hand, and the two hamsters, who have so far been not joining in combat, skitter forward and hold her hand. Hold her hands. And she just stands there watching. Dickie, your turn.
Dickie's also asleep.
Dickie, what are you dreaming about?
I'm dreaming about watching myself sleeping on a pile of gold.
You this is so confusing. You see the woman appear in your dream about you dreaming. And in the dream, she taps you on the shoulder. And you wake up. And you wake up to see her standing in front of you, not tapping you on the shoulder, but holding the hand of a hamster. And she smiles.
Oh my god, this is getting so Inception-like. Which bit of reality? Where am I in the reality tree now?
I wouldn't know.
Hello. I'm Dickie.
Yes, you are. Linus, your turn.
Okay, I'm just going to do the simplest thing and attack the praying hamster. Thank you, I guess. yep, so I'll just... that's Ozzy, right? I'll just pull out my little
it
hammer
is, yeah.
and give him a bonk.
Is it ball or
yeah,
bean?
The
hamster hammer?
This is peen.
You're going to bonk him with your peen?
Yeah.
Of course it's peen.
I will.
Look at the length.
I'm keeping ball for later. That's a 21.
Here comes the peen bonk. 21 is a peen bonk. So congratulations.
Five bludgeoning damage.
Fantastic. You bonk Ozzy with your peen, and he is rudely awakened from his praying reverie. Yeah, good one. Anything else in your turn, Linus?
No, that is it.
And top of the order is Nigel again. Nigel.
I shall continue to bloop. to attempt to bloop.
Okay. One more bloop.
One more bloop.
Blooping. Hey.
That's a nat 20.
Oh my goodness. If you overkill this, which you do, goodness me, Nigel, finish him.
15 points of damage. And
yes.
I hit him with my booming blade into the statue that he's kneeling before to donk his head straight against the statue.
The statue rocks back, forward, back again, and falls, smashing into a thousand tiny, almost glass-like pieces and turning into just dust on the ground. Both hamsters fall under your booming blade and suddenly there is nothing at all. You are back in the marketplace. A lot of people are staring at you, and one street sweeper is walking towards you with her notebook out, being like, excuse me, stop. But we're going to go back to Dickie. Dickie, around you, your party disappears. The statue has smashed. The hamsters are all dead, apart from the two holding the hands of this elven woman who floats towards you over where the stone statue used to be. And she says, oh good, I finally got you alone.
Hello.
Hi. Sorry, introductions. Rude of me. I'm Louis Tyre.
Hello, Louis. I'm Dickie, Basilix the 17th.
Yes, I know. I've been rather becoming familiar with your work. I'm a big fan.
Oh, fantastic. Autographs are 5 gold pieces. I could offer you a couple, and for a couple of your hamster friends as well. I'll give you a discount. 12.
These aren't my friends. No. She clicks her fingers and both the hamsters disappear. Then she clicks her fingers again and 1,500 gold pieces appear in her hand, like just falling out of her hand, and they continue to, like they've been created from somewhere within the pile of gold. Just, oh, sorry. She just hands you, 1,500 gold pieces. And as she does so, you just see that sort of, there's more and more being just thrown over your arm, and the autographs that you pulled out, just obscene amounts of gold. And sorry, made a bit of a mess there, didn't I? Oh well, that's all yours. You can have that. That's fine.
Of course, right. Dickie literally takes his boots off, right, and starts filming.
Yeah, none of this is real. So you can do all this all you want, but you won't be able to take any of this back with you.
Oh.
That's
okay.
Fine. Some people actually prefer to live in this world. They like the gold, the riches, the promises, everything you want, if it's a good dream. And then everything you don't, if it's a bad dream.
Okay. How do I get back into the real world with loads of gold?
Oh, that's not within my wheelhouse. I can't send you back, but what I can do is control what happens here. And what I've been noticing, Dickie, Darkwood Basilisk the 16th, 14th? 17th. I knew I was close. Is that you like to send people my way, don't you?
Yes.
And I should be thanking you. This is wonderful. This is my realm, and I I like having visitors. I love it, in fact. I like to feed on their thoughts, and I like to dwell in the bask of their imaginations. I want to reward you.
Oh, wonderful.
Here's my deal. When you send people here to my world, I'll just nibble on their thoughts. Just take my cut of their imagination. And all I ask in return is that you keep sending people my way, temporarily. They'll wake up, I'm sure, maybe, and if they do, they should be fine, but they may have lost something of what came before.
Right, Dickie's mind now is really, really churning. You know, he can't wait to get back to Nigel because he's got this big business plan forming in his head about how he can get this constant throughput of thoughts.
You see that she's sort of almost chewing on your thoughts, and she goes, before you act any further, you must keep me a secret. If you don't, I will withdraw the offer instantly. That's part of the contract. She suddenly holds out an incredibly long contract that unrolls like toilet paper all the way down the cave.
Yeah. Dickie signs anything, so it's like Dickie's not even gonna read it. He's gonna take a handle from how
right.
How I run it last
week. I noticed that. You should have seen the contract I made you sign last week, Richard. I say you should have seen it. You did not. Here's the deal. Just in words, so that you can hear it as well as read it. If you tell anyone about our agreement, the agreement is annulled. And you'd make an enemy of me. And you don't want to make an enemy of me. As I say, I'm Luritaya. I'm rather big around these parts. But for as long as you're on my side and I'm on yours and you're sending people my way and I get to nibble on their dreams, that sleep spell will be more powerful. And you will be more powerful. And for as long as we are in company with each other, I shall make you more offers. And we shall become closer and we can work together as a partnership, incorporated.
Oh!
But if you tell any...
You mean like a merger with Cloudballs Inc?
Yes, I mean on my terms, not yours, but something similar. And of course, if anyone else within the company finds out, and I know I've already said this twice, but I do feel like you didn't listen the first two times. If anyone finds out about our agreement, it's over.
Okay, so what are we talking about with compensation here?
I make your spell more powerful. That's compensation. You send people to sleep, and for as long as they're asleep, I nibble on their dreams.
Can you also make my grease spell more powerful?
The problem with anything like that is it's happening in a world that I don't have so much control over. But I'll give it a think, and I'll the DM will... Give it a think. And as I say, the longer that we are in cahoots, the more power I shall bestow upon you. Think of it like a pact.
So Dickie spits on his hand and goes in for the shake.
She waves her hand till her hand dries again and shakes your hand. her hand is warm and quite long and slender. The fingers almost wrap fully around your hand and back on herself as she holds it and shakes. Her eyes are deeply, deeply golden and pierce with a kind of warmth into yours in a way that seals the deal more than even signing the contract in. I'm so glad we're working
fantastic.
Together, Dickie. This is going to be fun.
Dickie's going to give us some love eyes now.
Oh, God. Immediately clicks her fingers
and
you wake up.
Richard's question. Is Michael Rain still asleep?
No, you all woke up. None of you saw this. I'm now going to go back and do the scene again from your perspective. But just to say, mechanically, Richard, your sleep spell now, for every round that people are asleep, they will take a small amount of necrotic damage, And as soon as they wake up, that will then be annulled. The sleep spell lasts for the same amount of time, which is up to 1 minute. And just so you know, you can wake people up from the sleep spell by, you know, shoving them. Or I think sitting on their face, we also establish as a way to wake them up.
It's the cat way of doing
it. Not the nicest way to wake them up. So, but I just noticed that that was the only spell you used, apart from grease, and it was not helping. So I thought I might make it help. But it will also, any allies you put to sleep will also get nibbled on. So just be aware of that.
Yet.
It's not much. It's not much.
Yeah.
But just watch out. The other thing to say is that if you want to strengthen your bond with this god, if indeed she is a god, who can possibly say Luetaya, you can begin to multiclass into Warlock and take levels in that. The other thing I thought might be quite fun is I could change your subclass to College of Slumbers, which would basically mean you get lots of kind of sleep-related spells. So we've got a few options. We can talk about it between episodes, but there's fun things we can do with this if you want to.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. Oh, I'd want to do some fun things.
I'm very, very happy to do some fun things, but you know the deal. You don't want to make an enemy of Luetaya. Don't you dare tell anyone.
No. I am also going to have to remember when I wake up to give everybody a warning to stay within 20 feet of me when I start.
I thought it was 60.
Yeah, 90. I think, is it 20 feet? I feel like it's...
I feel like we're learning to do that anyway.
Basically, once the party's in and around you, it really, not necessarily in you, but certainly around you, it really doesn't make sense to use that spell. Although now, maybe it does. Okay.
It is 20 feet.
It's 20 feet. Thank you, Rob. You're welcome. Let's roll back like that song in Hamilton and see it from a different perspective. You all wake up, and apart from Dickie, who is slathering in the doorway of a barber's, and this street sweeper, sort of a police figure, is striding over to you. Hey, stop! Hey! Oi! What is going on here? What is going on? Stop! Everyone, freeze! Okay, don't freeze so much you can't speak. Someone tell me what the hell is going on, please.
There were hamsters. Really big ones.
She's going to do an insight check. Okay, she looks at you with pity. I can see you're telling me the truth, but I can't see any hamsters. There's a halfling walks up and just goes, he just like lifted himself into my shop. There were no hamsters. These guys, they're out of control. They were in the cafe. She sighs. Right. Listen, this is a problem. I need you out of here. I can see you've not caused any criminal damage. You need to take your friend and leave this street and not come back here, please.
Ever or just for now?
Ever would be great. Ever would be really, really great for me.
That's quite a long time.
Oh, I am not bothered by how long it takes. This is not what I want on my corner, on my patch, all right? I like to keep a clean street.
Right.
She kind of handles her broom with confidence. And sort of metaphorically, but also really, like sweeps a little bit of dust from the ground.
Well, we were going to go to Knott, so...
Mm-hmm. Sounds great. Knott would love you. That's a great place for you, your sort of person. So if you head off there ASAP, would really do me great. Thank you. And take your frothing friend with you, yeah?
I'll pick Linus up by, like, the... sorry, I'll pick Dickie up by, the like, the scruff of his neck and just kind of, like, put him on my shoulder.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, bye.
Before we go...
Oh, God. Yes?
Could I have a piece of paper out of your notebook, please?
Will that help you go? Will that help you leave?
Yes.
Okay, she flicks past various notes and rips out a piece of paper, hands it to you with the sort of impatience that you can expect from a street sweeper. She's sort of half-elf and she's dark-haired and she's just grumpy and she just wants you gone. Here you go.
Thank you.
Yep.
I'm going to start trying to... do I know the names of the dead and vanished hamsters? Does Luck Through Rain know their names?
I don't think they told you their names, and I know that you could see their names written just beneath their icons. Yeah. But that's not something
like Thurain knows.
That's something that you, Misha, know. Yeah. Maybe like Thurain doesn't. So you can start making up their names if you want on this piece of paper.
I'm going to make up some names for them because one of my nomadic quirks as a mystic is to write down the name of every creature that I slay and name the ones that are unnamed.
Fantastic. Are you going to do it in front of this street sweeper?
I think I'm going to start doing it in front. Hang on. I will make an insight check and see if I think she's got the patience for me to stand here while I do it. Or if I should probably... That's an 18.
Okay. She flicks to an empty page of her notebook and says, for every name you write down, I'm going to write down one of yours, okay?
I'll do it while I'm walking.
Thank you. Bye. Right, off you go. Thank you.
Nigel starts hopping on one leg.
Is there a reason for that, or is it just fun?
Just still got way too much energy. Still got to burn off quite a bit of this.
Just still buzzing.
Oh, yeah! You're still absolutely vibing off this brownie. Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay. Great. At this point, I think Dickie awakes in the arms... Oh, not... Yes, in the arms of Linus, but held by the scruff of the neck. Yeah, Dickie, you wake up. Your mouth is full of your own saliva and maybe a tiny bit of vomit.
So I look up and see Linus. Try not to dribble on him.
Make me a dexterity saving throw.
Fourteen.
Yeah, that's fine. A big old goop of drib falls down, and you just suck it back in with consummate ease. You're a professional when it comes to drib suck. Yeah. Drip suck pro. Yeah, you're fine.
So I wake up and I just look at Linus and go, what?
What do you mean, what?
What?
I'm just gonna put Dickie down.
like your old dog.
No. Very much just kind of like putting him down but still holding him by the scruff of the neck so that as his feet hit the floor he can start walking immediately.
Okay, I'm gonna look at Nigel and like Thurain now and just go, where?
Hop town.
Not Hop Town. We were going to go to Knott to meet the Red Fins and see if we thought they were the sort of people that we should give a trident to.
Why is the world bouncing?
I'm going to take out my water skin and give some water to Dickie. I should be like, I think this might help.
Dickie just, like, drinks the entire skin. Water's pouring down my chin, all over the place. Hands back an empty skin to Linus.
I'll sigh slightly and immediately start looking at what shops or lakes or anything we're passing that I could refill this.
Sure. Give me a survival check, please.
Okay. That's a 10.
Okay, well, there's a fountain. It looks fairly mucky, and there are lots of bird folk currently, like, washing their wings in it. So it's got this kind of, like, surface layer of grease and pigeon feather. But there is... I mean, it's wet.
Would you like mine, Linus, and I'll refill mine there?
Sure. Yeah.
It's got extra flavour that way.
Okay, where did you fill this one up last, though?
you know that puddle outside of the lamplighter's cage?
The slimy one.
Yeah. With the green bits in it.
Yeah. I'm okay, thank you. Just kind of like hand it back to like Thurain.
A little goblin is walking with a whole sort of like wooden frame over his shoulders, which extends to a little table, going, coconuts, coconuts. Would you like to buy some coconuts, please? Okay, no, no problem. No one wants coconuts. That's fine, I'll go. It's fine.
No, Dickie makes a beeline over to him. Because I'm absolutely famished.
Clarified, lovely coconuts, king coconut, good flavor, delicious, full of liquid that's clean. How many would you like, my friend?
I'll have one for myself and one for each of my friends.
Looks around at everyone in the entire town.
Are these all your friends? Everyone here? I can't see.
One, two, three.
Oh. That's not so many friends as I hoped you might have, but okay, coconuts for four people, one gold pieces, please.
How about we barter?
No.
would you take payment in turnips?
No. Well, unless they contain delicious liquid, I can sell on to other people.
They might do.
But do they or don't they? I like to deal in absolutes.
Depends how...
I'm only a little goblin selling coconuts.
That's the surprise. That's the surprise of life.
One gold piece, please, my friend.
Oh, so I turn around to Linus as I always do. Hold out my hat. Linus, one gold piece, please.
He's your finance department, I see, okay.
I will lean down to Dickie's waist, take off his pouch of gold, take one gold piece out and put it in the goblin's hand.
Oh,
I think actually I took all of Linus's gold a couple of
I didn't give it to you.
Did you steal all his gold?
I think you tried to. But
I think we temporarily pulled it all to count it and then took it back again.
Did you ever give it back?
You did. You did.
Of course not.
Well, I think Dickie didn't give it back, but we took it back off him while he wasn't looking.
I see. Well, it says that Dickie has 7 gold pieces, so we'll take one off for now. We can deal with stealing each other's gold anytime you like. Just make sure that I know about it. You each get a coconut. It is refreshing. It is cool. It is just slightly sweet. It's a beautiful king coconut with a little straw in the top. Let's have both Nigel and Dickie make a constitution saving throw, please.
Okay. I got a 14.
Okay.
I got an 8.
Right. Nigel, you begin to come back down from this this stimulant high. This is a cooling, lovely drink, and you're starting to feel a bit more like you're in the real world. The world has stopped bouncing. It's maybe slightly woggling around, but it's not bouncing so much now, and you're able to... energetically still, but not quite so crazily, walk down the street. Dickie, your head feels like it has been, like, dragged behind an aeroplane as it's taking off.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, it's bad.
What can I do to give myself a bit of relief? I could... Right, I don't have any useful spells.
Ew.
I don't have any healing potions.
Send yourself to sleep.
Yeah, tried that, didn't work.
I don't...
I could ask Linus for some healing again, since he's already healed me once.
I can't heal at the moment because I need a long rest. I've got no spell slots from here.
I've just realised, looking to see if I've got anything I can do to help, that I've got mystical recovery now, and I could have been mystically recovering the entire sodding time. Immediately after you spend side points on a psionic discipline, you can take a bonus action to regain hit points equal to the number of side points you spent.
What is this class? It's ridiculous!
There's a reason it didn't ever make it out of Unearthed Arcana. I mean,
we need it because we're useless.
We are totally useless. I mean, I could have regained a whole 5 hit points, which, to be fair, I need. And it's like
that'd be fine.
A third of my HP.
Absolutely.
I think Dickie's just going to grimace.
I think it's like a hangover. I think you've just got to see it out.
I, think I've got a mace. I could hit you with a mace.
Fair.
Ah, now that's a good solution.
I
see this as Dickie sort of dragging behind the group, head down, occasionally groaning as you all surge forward towards Nod.
I've got a herbalism kit.
Oregano, Dickie?
I'll try anything several times.
Yes. Yes, that's very much the problem, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Dickie, give me an intelligence saving throw, please.
This is going to go wrong. It will actually go wrong. Or not. This is literally the only thing that I can do.
What did you get?
11.
Your mind flicks back to the remaining brownies.
Oh no.
They have a slightly addictive
quality.
Quality, yeah. All right. Well, yeah. I think if you just ride this one out, Richard. Well, Dickie, I suppose. Then I think you'll be right as rain by the time you get to Knot. It's a long walk, and you can be dragged. I think.
Yeah, I'm actually wondering. I'm thinking now because obviously I've made a deal with the devil or the other maiden. So we've got a sleep spell. I'm wondering if we should go and stop and buy some more brownies before we go to Knot.
Now, we did just kind of get banned from that place, that whole street.
Entire shopping district.
Only the corner.
Also, the brownies...
Unless Nigel's still
got loads left.
There,
right?
You have plenty, yeah.
The brownies make you more awake unless you massively overdose and somehow survive it like you did.
Okay. I'm gonna chalk that up for a later conversation. I'm thinking that I'll take the brownies off of Nigel. Probably doesn't have much use for them anyway.
They make witcher. Okay. Would you like some brownies, Dickie?
I was so awake.
Ah, I thought you were never gonna ask.
Well, I don't think I should be allowed to have any more. They do weird things to me. Oh.
Okay, so Dickie's going to take all the brownies and put them in a pouch for
great.
Now.
Add 6 brownies to your inventory, Dickie, and let's remove them from yours, Nigel.
Linus, could you do something with these dribbly, oily boots?
What do you want me to do with them?
Something to stop Dickie from flying off high as a kite.
Right.
We could. The boots of don't get high.
Boots of grounding.
Boots of grounding.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could I do a little bit of tinkering with these boots? And by tinkering, I'm just going to get some incredibly heavy weights and just like a steel toe capped boot, but just around the entire shoe. So they're soft on the inside.
Steel rings.
Yeah. It's just heavy on the outside.
Love it. Yeah, yeah.
These are the boots we got from the fisherman, by the way. The oily, smelly, hot.
Yeah.
Boots.
Yes.
The fisherman's boots. Okay, and you're going to, make them feel a bit heavier?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Okay. Yeah, these are nice, heavy, steel-ringed boots. And you're to give them back to Knight?
Yeah, yeah. It says that I can choose it to emit a sound as well. And a smell. So I will make get rid of the smell. Like, the smell that I'm making them generate is the smell that's in, like, the exact opposite to the smell that they're actually emitting, to just make them...
Oh, like
yeah,
Febreze.
To make them smell...
There's cover-up smells. It eliminates
right,
them.
Exactly. And then they get...
A smell jam.
Yeah, exactly. And then I can make a sound as well. But I don't think I will.
It does say or.
So I'll just make
sound.
It. I'll make them not smell.
Okay. The smell of not.
The smell of
smell.
The smell of yeah. None.
Absence.
Okay. These are fine boots right now. They are heavier than they should be. They have a lack of smell. There's everything you want in a pair of boots. Okay. And you're going to hand them to Nigel? Yeah?
Yeah, I'll give them back to Nigel.
Are you going to wear them, mate?
I'm gonna see whether Dickie wants to wear them, first of all. Dickie, you think these would fit? You're very small. Dainty. Large. Do they go with your outfit?
Well, I'll give them a try. So Dickie puts these boots on.
There's room inside. There's probably room for another gnome inside, I'd say.
Yeah. I like these, Nigel. I think I'm gonna wear them from now on.
Great. They're a prototype that me and Elias have been working on for quite some time, and they give you immunity to getting high.
Yeah. There's even space for a turnip store. I was thinking about turnip
store. See,
that's
because we got you the estate version.
Yes. Thank you. Well, I mean, we could have some a terabyte container of turnips.
Perhaps. Linus will look at Nigel and just say, "Did you tell him about the rental agreement?"
No. Why don't you tell him about that? Because you know the finer points of the tertiary terms and conditions and the schedule of works.
Well, essentially, I can end these magical effects at any time, so just keep me happy. That's the rental agreement.
Richard, you're having a day-to-day.
All right, onwards, everybody.
I'm going to whisper to Dickie. If you make Linus angry, don't smell the boots.
That's such a complicated
And yet
Dickie's not listening now. He's thinking about the deal that he's struck.
Also, your boots still are making a very clangy noise on the ground, and it really takes a lot of concentration to walk in them, because you have to like clench your toes just to get them to stay on each footstep. So, you almost have to like a concentration spell. You have to hold concentration on walking
so as not to walk out of your own boots.
Okay. So I'm gonna tell Linus these are a great prototype, and Nigel, how long do you think it's gonna take to get these in production?
Well, I need to know first of all the scale we have to shoot for, because we'll have to find more Linuses. So do we need one more Linus, 10 more Linuses, line eyes? And I'm just gonna get very confused going line eye, line falls. Line Timothy's. Start staring up into space.
So Dickie just turns to Linus and says, "Linus, how many more of you are there?"
I'm from the Infernal Monastery of Menardis in Free Grotmark. There's hundreds of us.
Oh, brilliant!
Okay. So Nigel, I reckon that's like, what, 100 every 10 minutes? If we get all
well,
the
I believe once we've cracked it, he can do it once per 6 seconds.
Right, but every time I make a new one, the old one would stop working.
QA is a bit of a problem.
So, it sounds to me like you need an infinite supply of Linuses.
Yes, we need Infiliney.
And who's making the boots?
We have to find fishermen and bully them.
Right.
Linus, if it's not too personal of a question, but how do new Linuses get made? You can get my notepad out and pen ready to write this down.
I will regale Light Through Rain with the tales that that are told in the monastery. So all about that we're born within the fires of the Forge of God's Ire, and that's how we come into being.
Okay, So with a big enough fire, you could have an infinite number of Linuses.
Yes.
And then we just need the boots.
Okay. So what we're thinking then, I believe, is find some fishermen, get them in a situation where they don't feel safe, and then set fire to the town.
Yes.
Yes.
Perhaps we could combine those two things, because they wouldn't feel safe if the town was on fire.
And if they're warm and dry, they won't need boots.
Just to clarify, we were born in the fires of a volcano. I think the volcano is important.
Have you tried being born in a fire of a slightly crappy biscuit shop?
Nigel, make me a history check. Please.
A history check. I will make a history check. Mm-hmm. 17.
There is a volcano on Dorias, the island you're currently on. It's known as Mount Balfron. It's pretty active.
Okay. So we should change the plan then. We need to get an infinite number of, well, no, half infinite number of fishermen, because then we'll end up with an infinite number of fishermen's boots in the plurality of the half infinity. And we take them to Mount Balfron, which is just up the road down there. Turn left around the corner, keep going. Don't get distracted by the dingleberries on the way. And then you will get across to the Mount Balfron. It's a fire in the mountain. We could try there.
Whilst this is going on, Dicky throws his hat down on the ground because he likes the clank of the shoes and starts tapping.
Give me a performance check, please, Dicky. I didn't need to make you guys a campaign. I'm very happy to.
Oh God.
Oh my God! It's horrible. The noise is awful. The street sweeper who has been tailing you for some time stamps forward and goes, "Will you stop?"
I thought you wanted us to leave.
Yes, I do, and you're not leaving. You've walked. You look point back. You've walked about 50 feet. Look, you've walked. I've been watching you. You've gone 50 feet. From the barbershop, you bought four coconuts, you drank them, you walked very slowly in loud shoes, and now you've started to dance. This will not do. I want you gone, or I will take you to the bucket, bury you deep underground in the lowest, dankest cell, and let you rot. Oh,
thank you.
Dickie puts his hat out. As if to, to ask for some money.
Give me a persuasion check, please, Dickie.
Zero.
That's impressive.
I mean, it's better not only it's a zero, but that's one.
Yeah, it's also a nat one.
Yeah, it's that one minus one. Yeah.
She takes the broom, the wrong end of the broom, and she tries to... And let's just see if she manages.
What was the wrong end of the broom?
Oh, yeah, she's fine. She... The wrong end of the broom is the handle end of the broom, and she pierces through the head of your hat so that it skewers it. And then she wrenches it out of your hands and holds it just out of your reach. This is my street. Take your hat and go.
Okay. I'll take my hat back. Thank you.
You want to try and jump for it?
In the big heavy boots?
I don't think that will end well in my boots. I'm just going to wait for her to give it
to
me.
She just holds it there. Take your hat. No, you try on. Shorty, it's right there. It's just on the end of my broom. You can take it.
I'm going to go for the jump then.
Give me an athletics check. I'll do a dex save.
Ooh, 19.
You jump, and as she tries to pull her broom out of the way, you grab on, and you're now hanging from her broom. She looks furious. She lets you take the broom off the hat off the end of the broom. It is now open to the elements at the top, and she sneers at you. Fast walking that way. Go.
I will turn to her and just say, apologies for our indiscretions, officer, as if to prompt her for her name.
Broom Handler Alamanth, thank you very much. Officer, what's that? Broom Handler Alamanth.
Broom Handler.
We should put that in the minutes for the next company, you know, the agenda, something. Risk register!
I will just nod my head at her and begin to walk away.
See you in the risk register, gloomy officer Alaman.
She is already
can
writing
I sort of grab Nigel in one paw and Dickie in the other and sort of start to drag them after Linus?
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah, either of you resisting that?
No, I'm looking forward to the risk register now.
Okay. As you dream of risk registers and Dickie, as you replace your hat and feel the wind on the top of your head, let's cut forward. So as we travel, you pass through Northwall Agora. People are watching you for some time until eventually you pass far enough from the place of all of the chaos to not have any particular attention on you. The streets of the Northwall Agora slowly thin out and sort of begin to worm and sidle in such a way as to suggest that the streets were not so planned in this part of town as they were just 5-10 minutes ago. And bit by bit, the streets become dirtier and they become winding and you could easily lose your way, except that Nigel, you are from Knot, am I right?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so you know Knot quite well. You know that it is a very overpopulated place full of a variety of communities. It is, it's safe if someone knows you. You know, the streets are both populated with gang members and children riding sharks with wooden wheels. Wooden sharks with wooden wheels. And those two things at first are a bit scary, like, you know, just a Redfin with a knife next to a tiny child giggling. But you realise that there's a sort of, there's no coincidence there. One is there because of the other, and the other is there because of one. This is a fiercely protective community and a very poor community, and one that does not take disrespect lightly. Nigel, you know that there are a couple of centres of the community where you could head if you wanted some information. One of them would be Muscle Beach, which is a saltwater beach. It's kind of a spa. It's a hangout place. It is, you know, where business gets done and palms get greased. All of the business people of Knot tend to hang out there in the afternoons. Once the evening comes, perhaps a more fitting place to meet the right person would be the Brackish Pit, which is a large, half underground, submerged fighting pit come bar. There's also a great big covered market, a sort of bazaar called the Inigo Trading Post, which you can get almost anything you want for a price. A few other places north of here, there is a large university which straddles both this and Wood's Edge, the district to the north. It's known as the Thinking Tents. It is a great sort of superstructure of tents, teepees, wigwams, and caravans, which makes up a place of learning, radically left-wing, contrasting opinions, emotions, schools of thought, and dangerous in thought, but an exciting place to be. So you could go to one of those four places, or you could head somewhere else. There are plenty of other places in town as well where you... you can have fun, indulge your vices, or learn more. So what are you looking for?
Well, I think that the party, having had a bit of a scrap, we could all do with finding a base, being somewhere where we could perhaps get some rest, but maybe do a little bit of digging around while we're there. And to me, maybe as somebody who used to work in the Brackish Pit, maybe going to the brackish pit and seeing whether any of my former colleagues are there behind the bar, give us a free drink, or maybe give us a discount on a room or something. And we could also have a chat with some patrons and see what we can find out from the brackish pit.
Excellent. Yeah, yeah. It's pretty easy to get there. There are mainer roads and there are minor roads. If you want to attract attention to yourself, two schools of thought here. One, take the back roads, less people. But two, keep on the main roads. There's more people, but therefore there's always someone else looking out for you. So are you taking major roads or minor roads here?
What would... I think that if we go down a minor road, the clanking boots is sure to drag attention to us. So I think we maybe should just stay on the main roads.
I agree.
Yes.
Okay. Excellent. Did you say major roads or minor roads? I wasn't
Major.
Okay, make me a survival check, please.
Okay. That is a 5.
Okay, you take a major road, the one that you believe will take you to the brackish pit. You've walked these roads plenty of times. But as you do so, you realise that you're going... The road is bending slightly as if it's changed direction since you've last been here. These roads do change directions. The slummy buildings around can collapse and move and places can get blocked and new passages move through. You find yourself moving... you reach the coast, the south coast of the city, but you've not reached the brackish pit. You're somewhere probably further east than you meant to be. And you see stretching out in front of you these sort of grey... charcoal-coloured sands and a grumpy-looking redfin woman with 6 kids all digging in the sand and making sandcastles, kind of covered in this kind of oily black sand.
Oh, hello there, fellow Nottian.
Hi.
How's it going?
Oh, it's all right, yeah, I mean, sun's out.
She points up at the kind of late afternoon sun. It's hot, it's kind of... There's a little wind coming off the sea, but not much.
Yeah, kids are playing, you know. Yeah, I'm fine. What, look at you, God, what are you after? You want a space on the beach, is it? You want me to move up?
The beach is mostly empty.
No. We were just on the way to the brackish pit, but it's been a while since I've been around here, and things seem to have adjusted themselves.
Oh, people have been fighting, you know. There's been a lot of infighting recently, and yeah, a lot of houses fell down.
Oh, well, that happens, right?
What? You making light of it, are you?
What? Only in that it gives good working folk like us opportunity to rebuild and find work, hey?
Like us, is it? Like us.
Yes, I worked in the brackish pit, you know.
Did you?
Yep, I have a scar here. From the pit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, right. Why have you got such a funny accent, then?
I'm trying to impress my friends here.
She looks at you three.
Are you impressed by that?
Yes.
Always.
No.
Well, there you go, then. That's the answers you needed.
Yeah, mixed reviews. I keep trying my best, though.
Her children start tugging her around. Mom, you made a shark! Look, you made a shark! They've built a sort of sandcastle shark, which one of the children is now jumping on, and they start getting angry and running at each other.
I'm busy, all right, but you... You have your phone, yeah?
Before you go, what are the name of all your children? One after the other, okay. Age order.
Yeah. Pizzle's 8. Razzmatazz is 7. Grickshit, 6. Broskin, 4. Riff and Zigzag, the 2 each. And This one's bullshit. It's still a sucking babe.
A suckling shit. Excellent, excellent.
Yeah. That's all my kids. They're their names. I won't repeat it. If you ask.
It's amazing. So great to meet you. So could you point us with your flippy flappies towards the brackish?
My flippy what?
Yeah,
she walks towards you. She's quite a lot taller than you. My flippy what?
Your pointy bits.
You should know if you've been around not for a while.
Well, I told you all the roads have gone wibbly wobbly.
Yeah, but the words ain't. Words have always been the same. They ain't flippy flappies. They ain't wibbly wobblies. They're fins, my friend. They're fins.
Oh, fins.
Thank you.
Lovely fins.
Lovely fins. They are lovely fins, thank you. Fins. These fins are raised six little ones.
Six little ones, yeah.
Yeah.
Two of them twins.
Yeah, two of them are twins at least.
At least.
And they're all quite close together in age.
Yeah, they're all close in age, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what that means?
What does that mean?
Well,
oof, my lady, you're embarrassing me.
It's that way.
She points with her wibbly wobblies to her left.
I found the way, guys. Let's go.
Yeah. You watch yourself, yeah?
I try. Other people watch me too. Big people.
Oh, yeah, they're all watching. They're all watching.
Yeah. Yeah? Yeah, okay. Maybe I'll see you in the fighting pit.
Oh, I doubt it. Oh. Come on, Razzmatazz, you show me that shark.
Razzmatazz grabs her and goes,
look, I made it, it has teeth.
Oh, yeah, that's your teeth, all
right. And she heads off to look at her children's creations. Right, you've got the way.
What a lovely lady. A lovely lady. Let's, we can go along the beach, and you could pick up some of the oily sand. Maybe you could do something with that, Linus.
Like what?
Well, we just saw people making sharks out of it. Come on, we got to be able to do something.
Okay, I will pick up a handful of oily sand, I guess.
You're just going to keep it in your hand, are you?
I'm going to hand it to the mage hand. Okay.
Of course.
But I don't really know what... I don't have a container for it.
Hmm.
So I'm just going to...
A bag of sand?
If it's oily, can we burn it?
Great question.
Who are you asking? Me?
The world at large. A sensible answer, to be honest. Maybe, it's more of a rhetorical.
Maybe we should test that whilst...
Dickie doesn't. He just makes it.
Maybe we should test that was
to Linus.
With it, have you got a tin?
Sees if he can light the oil in his hand.
It's in the mage hand. Do you have a tinder box or anything to light it up?
Oh, it's a mage hand. Probably not. I can maybe turn the mage hand to sleep.
You can make the mage hand even greasier.
Maybe we shouldn't. Set it on fire whilst we're still on the oily beach.
Oh.
Yes.
Yes, we wouldn't want to damage the raw product, would we?
No, and...
I think we should take it with us and test it.
Exactly. And especially after what happened to that tiger.
Yes.
It didn't look comfortable.
I don't want that to happen to me.
Okay, well... I've been convinced that we shouldn't set fire and immolate ourselves. Okay, so we'll do this in a more controlled environment. Ooh, we can get a room with a bath, and then we can sit in the bath, clothes on, of course, protecting our dignity. And then we can try doing that. And if it burns, then we simply dunky the monkey, if you see what I mean. Oh, you see, I've been back in knot for 2 minutes, and the lingo is coming back.
Yeah, you're going to it. You're walking.
That's a good idea.
The,
is there an inn nearby?
The brackish pit.
Yes.
Linus is still very confused as to why we need to be the ones holding the sand in the bath when there is very obviously a big magical hand holding the sand.
It's for science, Linus.
Right. Okay.
Otherwise, how do you know that the magic hand isn't interfering with the fire?
Oh! Extraordinary!
Okay, Dickie's going to call a quick EGM at this point. Okay, investment committee. Who wants to invest Nigel. In the oily sands and shark building project that Nigel came up with? And me, I vote yes.
Oh.
I don't know if I'm in the investment committee or not.
If Nigel and I don't win, you're not.
Okay, I agree okay. then.
Linus, you're outvoted. We don't actually need your vote now. I
didn't think I had a vote. I thought this was you were voting on whether I have to build this or not.
Ah, yes, you do have to. So, onwards, everybody, to the bath in the inn.
Excellent. Let's see if we can get a bath in the inn. It is the brackish pit. I imagine there's lots of brackish water on offer there. So,
so you can fill up your skin again, Nigel. Linus.
Yes. Slightly salty.
Yes.
Oh, the best delicious.
That's the best kind.
Delicious.
You walk along the beach for a bit, considering the wealth of resources around you. Eventually the rocks, dark black rocks, become too up and down for you to traverse over. And as you make your way back onto this road, you see the entrance to Muscle Beach, which is these kind of saltwater pools, which is the sort of hangout area for the I was telling you about earlier. And after that, after some time, the road bends around and you find yourself looking at the dark red sort of clay walls of the Brackish Pit. The front entrance is guarded by two kind-looking minotaurs who look you over as you approach.
Kevin!
Hiya. Oh, Nigel!
How you doing?
Oh, I'm so good. Yeah, it's been a while, says Kevin. How are you?
We've been building our business empire. Let me introduce you to my friends. This is Dickie Darkwood Basilisk the some number. This it seems to change. That's why I don't look quite sure. What number are we on today, Dickie?
Ah, is this your friend Kevin that you've been talking about, Nigel?
Yes. Kevin, the Minotaur guard man.
Ah, Kevin beams.
Kevin.
Oh, you've been talking about me.
We do, yes. And we're actually looking for some new security now. Do you want to come and have a job with us?
Give me a persuasion check.
Well, I got zero last time, so hopefully.
Oh, yeah, it might be better.
God.
What'd you get?
Zero.
Again, that's insane.
Another nat one.
Kevin goes, oh, kind, thanks. No, I'm good. You know, the great thing about working at the Brackish Pit is not only do I get to hang out with my friend Reg here. Reg waves, oh yeah. But also, when my shift's over, I get to fight in the pit. So this is perfect for me. Yeah. As old Nige here knows, this place is perfect for me.
Yeah,
I wouldn't want to quit my job even if I was paid. I'd pay to be here, honestly. I'd pay.
Well, I don't want to hear that the bosses hear you say that. Otherwise, you want me to get off. So we probably not the right time anyway, but we think about you all the time. You're right in our minds when it comes to what might come next for us all.
Thank you. That's and then nice.
We have Light Through Rain here. She is the most delicate of killing machines you've ever seen. She would absolutely destroy in the pit, but we just need to convince her that it won't mess up her hair.
Oh, I will.
I just gently hold it.
He's acts really much. Oh, you're a right feisty one. Hey, guys. We've got a slot free tonight. If you want to, you want to go for a tag team match.
And that brings me to Linus of Menardis. Look at him, a man with a face destined for the fighting ring.
More than just your face, I hope. It's a big ring. Can't just put your face in it.
I'll bring my ball and my pin. and as I do that, I will summon my two hammers into my hand.
Oh, do you know, I'm glad you, brought those up, because, yeah, I would love that. I would love that. Hey, listen, I can. So I know the guy who runs the pit fights here. If you want to get a game, you know, bit of pitcraft, four-man, traditional pit fighting.
Oh, the four-man, the old four-man, 4x4.
The four-man, free Grotmark style. Yeah, they love it up there. Quite fun. We could do that.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm not promising yes, but that would be great. And they pay well if you win.
Oh, well, in that case, I think I'll definitely have to manage a couple of you guys.
Would we be able to have a little rest before we start?
Sure. Do you know what? You go in, I'll sort the fight, I'll go and speak to my boss. Get yourselves a drink. The saltwater rum here, Nige knows this, the saltwater rum here is exquisite!
Be careful with that, though.
Oh, you want... Yeah, it does dry you out. It's very dehydrating. You do need to have it with a chaser of sort of fresh water as well. We have some lovely rainwater as well. So you guys go in, get yourself that. I'll go and sort you out with your batch. And yeah. I didn't ask, by the way. What are you doing here?
Oh, what are we doing here? We got scared. I'm very scared of heights. And I was up somewhere high.
Great. Well, you can go down. This has a downstairs, so that's...
Oh, that's it. That's it. Forget about being scared. That's... Ooh. You know what I get like, Ken?
I do, Nudge.
I think the technical term is business trip.
A business trip to the business pit.
The business pit. Well, do you know what? Let's do business. He taps on his nose and goes, there's a lot of business in there today, if you know what I mean. Plenty of business, plenty of people to speak to, things to do, people to see. People to do, things to see. There's all that and more. In...
Has anybody been selling cookies or brownies in there recently?
No.
Good.
But there's a few suspicious drinks going around, which... If you want it, it's there. And more.
Dickies. At this point, right, Dickie takes some parchment from his sack and starts tearing it up as best as he can into little squares. And writes betting slip on them with Linus and Light Through Rain's name on them. And then stacks them all up.
Oh.
Ready to go into the bar.
Right. You probably don't want the sharks to see that, though. They will handle the betting. Like, if you're going to set up a rival betting company, they will see that. I would put those away. If you want to put some bets on yourself, please do. But I'd go and find the sharks down there. I wouldn't do it yourself. I mean, just my advice.
Well, thank you very much, but never say never to Dicky Basilisk.
Never.
Cloud balls.
I'm the bouncer. Hang on.
We're in the betting game now.
I'm the bouncer. I'm going to say never. Because I don't want that in here. So put them away.
So
cloud balls. So Dickie, he says cloud balls. You're out of the betting game.
Oh.
Dicky hides them in a shoe for now.
Well, Dicky, we're out of the betting game, but we've never lost a bet.
That's very true.
Infinitely good. Just like we need infinite boots.
Innings.
Half infinite boots. I haven't forgotten.
Kevin moves forward to you, Dickie, and just whispers and goes, as long as I don't see you bring it in, it's fine. But please, just be careful in there. Yeah, the sharks don't like it if you set up your own betting industry.
Of course, I'll be like a ghost. And I won't forget.
If you
this,
upset
Kevin,
the sharks, you will be a ghost.
They won't even know I'm there.
All right. Okay, great. In you go, guys.
See you, Kev.
Lovely to see you. Have a good night. I'll get you in. I'll be back in a sec. Have a good time. I'll see you in half an hour. I'll sort out the details myself. And with that, you walk into the brackish pit, and we will discover what happens next week, because that's where we'll end our session.
Yay.
Anyway, well done, everybody. That sounds fun. Listen, you've been listening to. I don't know how do we.
I mean, normally we say goodbye nicely.
This episode, plenty more of it to come, including clearly a pit fight, rival betting industries, and far, far more as well. So for now,
bye, Kevin.
Goodbye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Technomancers, a D&D podcast. You can subscribe to hear the next episode when it comes out. And until then, see you later, nerds. Oh, there's already that, isn't there? We can cut this bit out. Are boots I tiny? Guess if a, that's a if question.
A person is medium and a halfling is tiny. Is a boot also tiny?
Halfling's not tiny. Halfling's small.
So how big's tiny?
I think about let's call it tiny.
Although I did discover this morning when I was just doing a quick test that the reason that my audio has sounded slightly questionable for several weeks is that it's been using the integrated microphone in my laptop, not my fancy microphone. And I know. I think it's even more embarrassing given that it's me that was doing it.
Bananas are superior. No, bananas are superior. How dare you?
3, 2, 1. Did you do an audible clap, Rich, or a silent clap?
I didn't do any clap.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Are you kidding?
No. Can we okay. Go again?
Let's just go back. None of that happened. That was all imaginary. The power of editing.
I've gone for two books this week after some testing. I've got Vicarage Folk, Flora and Fauna again, and the Encyclopedia of Modern Gardening.
Oh my God, yeah. Snap.
Oh. I'm sticking with 501 Spanish verbs.
I think you've done an extra one in the back.
They're all...
I like bananas.